Chapter 6. Londell dropped Harold off at the corner of his block.
"Thanks for the ride," Harold said, "and the money."
"No problem. I'll see you tomorrow after school."
Harold bounded up the street, smiling to himself. For the first time in weeks, he felt like he was in control. Working for Londell didn't seem that dangerous. The man he delivered to seemed pretty normal. Besides, it wasn't like he was selling drugs to kids. And once he made enough money, he could quit and go back to a normal job. Suddenly, Harold heard a familiar voice.
"Harold?"
He turned to see Cindy walking just a half block behind him. She was wearing sweatpants and a loose-fitting t-shirt. A Superfoods shopping bag hung from her fingers, and her forehead was creased with worry.
"Where were you? Grandma Rose said you were working at Superfoods, but I went there and they told me you didn't work there anymore."
Harold cringed. She had avoided him since he'd spoken to Londell. There was no way he could tell her where he'd been.
"I quit that job. Me and Mr. Marshall didn't get along,"
he lied. Cindy caught up with him then, her amber eyes focused on him like twin spotlights.
"Why are you doing that?"
she asked, shaking her head sadly.
"What?"
"Lying,"
she said, wiping her eyes as she spoke.
"I saw you get out of Londell's car. We both know what he does, Harold. Don't treat me like I'm stupid."
There was a sorrow in her voice that made him ache inside.
"It's not what you think," Harold pleaded. "He's not that bad."
Cindy rolled her eyes.
"He's a drug dealer, Harold. That's all I need to know."
"You don't understand, Cindy," Harold said defensively.
"No, you don't understand," Cindy yelled. "My mom used to date a drug dealer, remember? I saw what drugs do to people. I watched Bobby Wallace almost die in front of me from an overdose. Don't tell me I don't understand."
Harold knew what Cindy was talking about, but Londell was different. He looked out for his boys. Harold pictured Bug munching happily on his cheeseburger.
"Londell's not like that, Cindy. He takes care of us."
"Us?"
Cindy's eyes widened with disbelief.
"You mean you're working for him?"
"Look, he's helping me, okay?"
Harold admitted, thinking of the money in his pocket and the piles of bills he'd seen last night.
"I need his help right now. I can't explain it all. Just trust me."
Cindy nodded and stepped away from him as if she had just given up. Her eyes glistened with tears.
"Well, I guess you don't need my help anymore,"
she sighed, handing him the bag from Superfoods and walking away. Harold looked inside and saw two packages of the expensive bandages Grandma needed for her leg. He knew she'd bought them for him.
"Cindy, don't be like that,"
Harold called to her, but she rushed up the street and dashed into their building.
"Cindy!"
The door slammed, and Harold was alone on the street.
"I'm home, Grandma," Harold yelled as he walked into the apartment.
"Where you been, child?"
Grandma shouted angrily from the couch.
"You're late. I was starting to get worried."
Harold had been so busy with Londell and Cindy, he'd forgotten to look at the clock. It was a half hour later than when he usually got back from Superfoods. His mind raced for an excuse.
"We got a big shipment,"
he said, dumping his backpack on the floor.
"Mr. Marshall asked if I could stay a little later to help out. He likes my work and wants to increase my schedule to 5 days a week, too."
Harold hated lying, but he was doing it for the both of them. It was the only way. Grandma grunted at the news. He knew she wasn't happy.
"Harold, you should have called to let me know you were going to be late,"
she said, rubbing her leg.
"I don't like the idea of you working every day, either. 3 days a week is plenty for a boy your age."
"But Grandma,"
he protested, rushing over to the couch.
"He gave me a raise. He said I was a good worker. I swear I'll keep up with my homework, and I'll be home in time to help with dinner."
Grandma arched her eyebrows skeptically.
"I don't know, Harold. It seems like an awful lot."
"Please, Grandma,"
he persisted, sitting down beside her.
"It's important to me. If my grades start slipping, I'll cut back my hours, I promise."
"My goodness," she replied, patting his hand. "I've never heard you so excited." Usually I can't get you out from in front of that TV.
Guess I'm growing up,
he said, forcing himself to smile despite the guilt that clawed invisibly at his chest.
Well, I suppose it's not the worst thing in the world, having something of your own. Lord knows it can't be good for you, taking care of me all the time.
Grandma sighed thoughtfully.
It's not so bad, Grandma, he replied.
He noticed the bruise on her face was fading, and though she still looked tired, her eyes seemed a bit brighter.
As long as you get better, Grandma, he thought to himself, that's all that matters.
Okay, baby, she said reluctantly. You can tell Mr. Marshall we'll give this new schedule a try, but I'll be checking your homework, she added, pointing her finger sternly. I know I haven't kept up on that like I should, but school comes first, understand?
Harold nodded.
I know, Grandma. I know.
That night, Harold waited for Grandma to fall asleep. He crept into the kitchen and sifted through the neat pile of bills she'd left for him to mail. Harold guessed which ones would be cheapest and carefully sliced them open with a knife. The electric bill was $38.15. Harold removed Grandma's check, replacing it with $40 he made at Superfoods. He did the same with the phone bill, which was $47.38, sliding in Londell's $50 bill and then carefully resealing the envelopes with tape.
It's gonna be all right, Grandma,
he whispered out loud, slipping the mail into his backpack.
I'm going to take care of everything.
The next morning, Harold woke up early, his heart pounding with nervous energy. He showered and quickly made 3 ham and cheese sandwiches. One he left in the fridge for Grandma's lunch. The others he stuffed in his backpack. Harold wolfed down 2 pieces of toast while he finished his English homework. Then he headed out the door, dropping the bills in the mailbox, and walked to school. All day he watched the clock. As soon as the last bell rang, Harold raced to his locker to unload the books he wouldn't need that night. From the corner of his eye, he spotted Darryl Mercer walking toward him.
Not now, he thought to himself. I don't have time for this.
Yo, Harold, what's up with you?
Darryl said quietly, leaning against the wall of lockers. Harold shrugged.
Nothing, just busy, that's all.
Darryl looked at him thoughtfully.
Busy? You barely said a word to me all week. If it's what happened in the cafeteria the other day, I'm sorry. You and me, we're boys, you know that.
Harold slammed his locker closed and rolled his eyes.
I gotta go, he said.
Come on, Darryl persisted. What's going on? Why are you acting this way? Harold zipped up his backpack and shook his head impatiently.
I told you, I gotta go, he repeated. I'm late already.
Darryl threw up his hands in frustration.
What do you want me to say? Just tell me and I'll do it. Nothing, Harold replied as he turned to leave. Just stay away from me, Darryl. You're better off.
Harold rushed out the front doors of Blueford High and took the bus to 25th Street. He had to be home by 6:30 or else Grandma would ask questions. The earlier he got to the playground, the faster he could finish up and get home. Harold quickly made his way down the street past the rows of silent houses. It was warmer than yesterday. Overhead, the mid-March sun heated the neighborhood, filling the air with the thick scent of garbage and burned wood. Suddenly, Harold heard the sound of shattering glass. Up ahead, he could see someone covering his head and running. Harold gasped and ducked behind a car.
Who is that?
He thought fearfully, looking around for something he could use as a weapon. The crash of shattering glass boomed in the air again, closer this time. Harold peeked around the rusty bumper and saw a familiar young face.
Bug?
Harold called.
Hey, Harold, said Bug with a grin. What you hiding for?
Small shards of glass covered Bug's head and the top of his bright yellow backpack. He was holding several rocks in his hand and a small slingshot made from a rubber band and Y-shaped twig.
What are you doing? Harold cried. You scared me.
Bug looked confused.
I'm working. Breaking streetlights like Londell said.
Don't move, said Harold as he brushed the glass particles off Bug's clothes. You gotta be careful. You could cut yourself, he said sternly.
Quit it,
Bug said, squirming as Harold removed the glass from his hair.
That tickles.
Hold still, Bug. I'm serious.
Harold turned him around and checked his T-shirt for glass.
Got any more sandwiches?
Bug asked eagerly. Harold smiled.
I made one just for you, ham and cheese, he said.
For real?
Bug asked excitedly.
Yeah, for real, said Harold.
In the distance, he could see Jupiter and Keenan at the park, sitting on a rusty swing set.
Come on, let's go.
You go to school, Bug? Harold asked as they continued up the street together.
Yeah,
said Bug with a frown.
What's wrong? You don't like school?
Bug shook his head.
I hate it,
he said quietly.
How come?
Bug shrugged and fiddled with his slingshot.
I bet you're a smart kid, Harold said.
My new foster mom says that too.
You should listen to her, he replied. Bug adjusted his backpack.
I guess, but I don't know nobody at school. I'm always a new kid. Everybody be teasing me, not like out here.
Harold winced. He'd faced the same treatment himself in school, but the idea of Bug getting hassled seemed crueler. Bug was just a kid, ready to follow anyone as long as they were friendly. He belonged in a good home and a good school, not on the corner with drug dealers.
I know it's hard, Harold said, hearing Grandma's advice in his words. But once the other kids get to know you, you'll be okay. Just don't hit them with any of your rocks.
I won't,
Bug said with a chuckle.
Londell say I only gotta go to school for a couple more years anyway, till I'm big like Juke. Then I can work for real.
What did he say?
Harold asked, but Bug raced up ahead, stopping directly under a streetlight. Harold watched as Bug squinted, craning his neck backward to examine it.
Plastic,
he mumbled, aiming the slingshot and hurling a small stone at the light. Thunk. The clear plastic cover cracked but didn't shatter.
Careful,
Harold yelled protectively, rushing over to him.
Why's Londell got you breaking lights?
So the cops can't see Jupe and Key when it's dark,
Bug explained, as if Harold had asked a silly question.
Can I get my sandwich now? I'm hungry.
Sure,
said Harold with a sigh, reaching into his backpack.
But you gotta be more careful. Maybe wear a hat or something so that glass doesn't get on you. And no matter what Londell says, you gotta stay in school.
You gonna be here every day?
Bug asked as he unwrapped his sandwich.
Maybe, said Harold.
That's cool,
Bug replied between bites of his sandwich.
You're nice, Harold.
Moments later, they stepped into the park.
What's up?
Harold said to Jupiter and Keenan.
Londell around yet?
Sup,
Keenan nodded.
He ain't here,
Jupiter said. He had a small bruise on his cheek. Harold glanced at his watch. It was almost 4:30.
Know what time he'll show up? I gotta get home in a couple hours.
Jupiter shrugged.
He'll be here when he's here. He don't tell me nothing,
he added, his voice slightly bitter.
Yo, Bug, you done with those lights yet?
Jupiter shouted. Bug was sitting on a rusty bench, rummaging through his backpack.
Almost,
Bug replied.
You better finish before it get dark,
Jupiter yelled.
I gotta do my homework,
Bug complained with a quick glance at Harold.
You got work to do, Bug,
Jupiter said impatiently,
and if you don't do it, Londell gonna yell at me again, so get moving.
Bug wandered off, and the park was silent except for the gloomy squeak of the rusty swings. Harold thought about Cindy, how she'd spent what little money she had on his grandmother's bandages. He knew she'd never talk to him again, not after what she learned. Maybe it was best, he figured, looking at the bleak playground as quiet as a graveyard. Next to him, Jupiter gazed at a vacant house, tracing the long scar on the back of his hand with his finger. Harold recalled the day back in middle school when Jupiter punched that window, gashing himself and leaving a trail of blood droplets on the basketball court.
I remember when you did that,
Harold said quietly.
Did what?
Jupiter snapped.
Cut your hand.
Oh,
he replied, shoving his hand in his pocket.
Yeah.
Jupiter was quiet for a moment.
They kicked me out of school after that,
he admitted, his voice trailing off.
You ever gonna go back?
Harold asked cautiously.
Nah,
I'm supposed to be in Blueford now, but I ain't going to that place. No one wants me there neither, he said, his eyes fixed on a crushed beer can. Now that Londell's out of jail, he got me working, so you know how it is.
Harold nodded. He could hear Grandma's voice in his head. She'd have told Jupiter to go back to school. He was about to say it, too, when a mischievous smile crept across Jupiter's face.
Yo, remember that crazy art teacher we had in sixth grade?
Harold grinned.
Yeah, Miss Kowalski. She used to dye her hair pink. Yo, that chick was crazy, said Jupiter, jumping up from the swing. She'd always be wearing sunglasses in class, talking about how we could be anything we wanted. She was cool, though. She used to let me stay after school and play with all the paints.
Remember those paper pumpkins we made for Halloween? Harold said.
Jupiter nodded as if he was remembering something wonderful he'd forgotten long ago.
They was cool.
Then Jupiter's smile faded.
What you doing here, Harold?
He asked. It was the first time in years Harold heard him say his name.
I mean, this don't seem like you, Jupiter continued. You was always quiet. I remember your grandma, too. She used to come to everything at school, even the stupid stuff.
She's sick, Harold answered. We need money. Londell said he could help me out.
Keenan chuckled bitterly and touched his swollen lip. Jupiter spat into the dirt and shook his head slowly.
What's wrong with your grandma?
He asked after a few moments. Harold shrugged.
A bunch of stuff.
My mom's sick, too, Jupiter confessed. Almost died last year.
Harold looked up, surprised.
What happened?
He asked, but Jupiter didn't answer. He was staring off into the distance.
It ain't fun out here, he finally said, kicking the dusty ground in disgust. I mean, look at this place. What kind of life is this?
Londell coming,
Bug yelled from across the block. His voice shattered the heavy silence of the park. Harold jumped up from his swing anxiously.
It's about time, he thought, glancing at his watch. I gotta get home soon.
Jupiter lingered for a moment, his eyes focused on the ground as if he was seeing something in the dirt no one else noticed. Then he hurried off to join his brother.
You Londell's new delivery boy?
Keenan asked, once Jupiter was far enough away.
Yeah, said Harold. Be careful, man,
Keenan whispered.
Of what?
Of everything, he replied, looking in Londell's direction.